Right. Well, you can get your Bibles going to Titus. A couple things that I should have mentioned and I forgot, so maybe you want to have your prayer sheets out still. Alyssa Alsup, dealing with a lot of pain throughout her entire body still. The Alsups are planning to go to Iowa, Iowa City, where the University of Iowa is at, this Monday to try to get her into the medical care there. So their doctor's encouraging them to get out there now. So anyways, let's just be praying that the Lord will orchestrate all of those details as they go out Monday for Alyssa. And then just some really encouraging notes from this past weekend with Pastor Allen. They were, as you call, with our former youth pastor, Ron Davidson. He's up pastoring Camp Douglas, Wisconsin. They had a wonderful time, enjoyed some good fellowship with the Davidsons. But the plus is, all right, it sounds like Pastor Davidson is going to encourage his church to bring them on for support. So that's really cool. A church in Wisconsin helping a church in Illinois plant a church down in Chicago. Anyway, so praise the Lord. So pray that that will all come to pass. It sounds like he feels like there's room in their budget and so forth to be able to do that. And that's just, Pastor Allen's pretty excited, and rightly so. This would be pretty neat. As well, he's been able to get several more meetings lined up for next year. Continue to pray about that. He's actually going to be at the missions conference up at Calvary in Watertown in next November. And hopefully, he's kind of hoping maybe he'll already be in Crystal Lake at that point. And I said, don't refuse the meeting. One of the interesting, just, and I'll give you the perspective. One of the interesting things about a church plant and then raising support for that, whether this will happen, I don't know. But if he would, for some reason, say, let's say, raise 110 or 120% of his support, that's no problem. Because there will come a point at which, there's two things that can happen. He can start dumping some of that support right into the church ministry, which will always need that support in those early years. Or he can sock it away, because there will come a point at which when these the giving slows down, you know, a lot of churches will bring a church planner on for like 5 years. But as we've told you, it could take 10. Well, what's going to happen for those 5 years? If that church is not quite ready to bring them on for support, as I told you before, we're going to do everything in our power to not let them die, all right? We're the mother, and we're going to encourage that. But maybe we can't bring on all the extra support that he's raised. What'll happen if he's not quite there? Well, if he's been at 120% and he's been socking it away, I said, that'll give you living expenses for a good while. You know, 20% extra for 5 years, what does that figure out to? Oh, 100%. Anyways, for a whole year. All right, does that make sense? And so, anyways, those things are helpful. So I said, Pastor Allen, even if you're down already in Crystal Lake and someone wants to have you come in for a missions conference, go. That money, now you'll be accountable. You'll be accountable to us, and we've got plans and everything in place so that you know, he won't be accused of just taking it for his glory, and he won't be driving around in a Lamborghini or anything. All right, so yes, all right. And that'll be really helpful. So let's continue to pray that the Lord would just prosper. That'd be just a neat thing to see how the Lord takes care of him in the days ahead. Okay. Well, we're in Titus, and we started this last week. Actually, was that right? Last week. I guess a lot has happened between since then. All right. But last week, and we got down through the voice. Paul's the author. Titus. We talked a lot about him. All the references there are mentioned. All the references that Titus are mentioned in the New Testament are listed there. We walk through that. We believe that the book of Titus was written between the two Roman imprisonments of Paul. And then the occasion, let's start there tonight again just to remind you. What's the occasion of the letter? He asked Titus from verse 5 of chapter 1 to keep, I put it this way, keep at your ordering work, helping the churches get established and put in good order so they would be not disorderly but orderly. And then, as well, it's a personal plea. There seems to be, just like Paul had with Timothy, a unique tie and bond between Paul and Titus. And Paul wants Titus to come. He wants to have some encouragement. He wants to winter, it appears, with Titus in Nicopolis. And he wants that fellowship and that blessing. Let us never, maybe just a little aside here for just a moment, but Paul was a single man at this point. Probably had been married, all right? Remember, as a part of the Sanhedrin, it was a requirement for them to be married. They couldn't be unmarried men. So more than likely, he was married and lost his wife. God knew all about that, and God knew that the ministry that God had called Paul to would have been almost impossible for a family, a wife and family, to travel with. It's unlike even our missionaries today. Anyways, and so God knew all that. But the reality was, is he was still at times by himself. And Paul is unashamed to tell us in several of his letters, I'm basically all alone, telling Timothy, remember we already saw that in Timothy, come, I want your fellowship. And I say this, we have people that are here that are single. Well, yes, I understand, they've got family, they've got some of our older saints that are single, we've got children, grandchildren, all those kinds of things. And then we've got single adults as well that are here. Be an encouragement to them. If you can, this is one of those terrible statements to make. Be their friend, but don't force yourself on them. All right? Friendship is not something that can be forced directly. Okay, you know, Matt, you're sitting here tonight, all right? So single guy. Matt, I'm your friend, and you got to put up with me, and I'm going to start calling you every day. No, that's a little kind of forced, and it's a little awkward, and what does Matt do? He's like, pastor's overbearing, okay? So there's that wonderful balance, but on the other hand, let us never neglect those that are single. For us as a church family in particular, that's a responsibility for us, to love those that are by themselves, that live by themselves, provide opportunities for fellowship and encouragement, and if you become someone that it seems like they like to be with, take advantage of that and be their friend. Cherish them. The best way I know how to describe it is make them a part of your family. I've had the joy and privilege, my folks have done it, we've done it in our home, where somebody's a single and they just, because of the circumstances of life, they're with us, they're around us, they're a part of our family. They're here. My son, David, and his wife, his wife's sister, Christy, lives with them. She works at the Kitty campus up there in Watertown, and that's her job and ministry. And we've gone out of our way, and Christy seems, I'm Uncle Dave to Christy. She said, would you mind if I call you Uncle Dave? No. All that, in my heart, I'm going, yes, she understands, we love her, we want her to be a part, she doesn't feel alone. So that's just a real blessing. And keep doing those things. Paul was single. He wanted Titus there. Okay, I preached too long on that point, not too long. It's important. So let's not neglect the singles that are around us, all right? So what's the volume and value? Chapter 1. And what we find here is a kind of an interesting layout that Paul uses throughout the book, specifically in the first two chapters. So we have the greeting there, verses 1 to 4. Paul saying, hi, this is Paul. Titus, I love you, all right? That's verses 1 through 4. Now verses 5 through 9, he gives Titus the first challenge. Ordaining elders who will Ordaining elders who will hold fast to the faithful word. So those verses are dealing with help. He said, Titus, stay faithful to the calling that God has given to you in your life. Let's just read the verse again, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Now, and then he goes into a list, again, of the character qualities of pastor, which we generally run to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3's list is a little longer, but there are a couple of different things here, and he really emphasizes in this passage. And as we get to chapter 2, you'll see why, okay? And chapter 3, I'm sorry, you'll see why. He emphasizes that the pastor needs to be careful to teach God's word clearly, distinctly. That's that part of the phrase that I say, who will hold fast to the faithful word. The word that Paul had been instructing them, the writing of the New Testament and the Old Testament. We live in a day and age where this instruction to Titus, in my opinion, is critical. I'll be kind of blunt and honest with you. There is an amazing draw in this younger generation, and it's always hard. We aren't good evaluators. We take things often from our own perspective, and sometimes we don't evaluate quite clearly. That's why counsel is always good. But I do believe that the millennial generation has a draw away from godliness that is stronger than any generation, at least in our culture. The reason we can say it pretty clearly is because we can see what's happened culturally. The sexual revolution of the 60s is now bearing much fruit, all right? Bad fruit, it's wickedness. And so individuals have been, these young people are taught they can define themselves however they want. What their body is doesn't matter. So there's this terrible hedonism, all right, all about worshiping of self. And yet there's the frivolity that goes on and the almost the Eastern culture pulling in that says my body isn't something that's given to me by God and so I can do with it whatever I want. Cutting off good parts, trying to change who I am, all right, and all of those things. And it affects not just the world out there, can I put it that way, but it affects the culture of our children even here. The teenagers that are back in the teen room tonight. The children are back in children's ministry. They are surrounded by wickedness. And so what happens, even among our young men that grow up to want to serve the Lord, this is some of the discussion we see at Maranatha, and that's my point of contact, so that's where I can talk about that school in particular, but I know it's true of the other Bible colleges as well, where even the young men going into ministry have somewhat of a rebellious heart to anything that's a little older than them. They disdain it. They have a tendency to think, I can think better. Now, that's always, by the way, that's been always true of the younger generation, right? All right, you know that. Grandpas and grandmas, one time, you remember when your grandpa and grandma said, knock it off, you're right, I don't know what's going to happen to this generation, they're a bunch of lazy bums. All right, so there's some reality to that, always. And by God's grace and the working of truth in lives, that younger generation matures, okay? What we're seeing today is that younger generation is not maturing. And that's affecting even ministry. So it's really important what Paul says to Titus here is critical for you and I to encourage. There will never be enough time in a day to instruct our teenagers and children back there. You just do it, all right? So whatever moment we have here at Heritage Baptist Church with the teens that God has given us and the children that God has given us, use it to faithfully help them love this Word and let the Word become who they are. Because at the end of the day, here's the reality. Unless they're saved and the Spirit of God has the freedom to work the Word of God into their heart and life, they will fall away. Everything is working towards that in their life. This culture that we live in today is in no way moral. The wickedness around us is not hiding. It's aggressive, hyper aggressive. And the only way to stop that is to help these young people know truth and know it well. So that holding fast the faithful word that Paul told Titus to find men that will stick doggedly, will be stick in the muds. Guys in a rut in the Word of God, all right? We need that. So to help our young people to do that today. Okay. That's verse 9, by the way, just so you know, right? Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, all right? What is it, all right? That's verse, notice verse 10, or in our notes here, the reason. Paul says, I need you to be ordaining elders who will hold fast the word of God. What's the reason? So that he could exhort and convince those opposing God's word. And that's really verses 10 through the end of the chapter. Dealing with and working with all that are unruly. So I already read verse 9 for you there. By sound doctrine, there's the key. Not by gimmicks and gadgets. Not by some new method. No. Just the sound truth of God's word that will exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. He's talking about the Jews that were there, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Anyways, and he goes on to describe them. May God help us to help the next generation. It is only by the Word of God that those who oppose the Word of God can be stopped. Did you catch that? This is so important because there's this tendency, because the news tells us that the only way to change things is to do it politically. We ought to change our country through government. Sorry, that's not going to change our country. Our country is it's lost its morals. It doesn't fear God anymore. That's the problem. We must continue to declare God's word, and that's I know you've heard me say this before, but here it is in living color, in black and white, in God's Word. Let us be faithful to the faithful Word, because it's God's truth that will change hearts. Okay. I'm going to stop, all right? Let's just stop, all right? I've done enough preaching for tonight. We'll cover chapter 2 and 3. I knew this might happen because I get too fired up. Titus is a great book, all right? But may we be faithful. So, Sense, let's do this, all right? Sense, I'm going to stop here. Will you help go with me then, chapter 1, verse 12? Let's keep on reading. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said about the Cretans, they're always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. They're a bunch of lying, lazy bums. All right. Another translation for slow bellies, all right, please don't be offended, is fatso. Anyways, that's that really is what it means. They were obese, they were lazy, they lied about it. Anyway, okay, so what a description. Doesn't it sound like our culture? Again, isn't it amazing? So he goes on, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. You see, what we believe about God's Word actually has effect on how we live. It affects who we are. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commands of men that turn away from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them which are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, that even their mind and conscience is defiled. You see, they turn away from truth, and it totally corrupts them. And again, believer, look around the world, and that's what we see and experience in our culture today. Minds, hearts, totally corrupted because they haven't been purified by the Word of God. Do you realize the more you spend time in God's Word, the purer you become as you submit to it? That's why the process of Christianity and our sanctification is never done. We're still conquering sin in our life. We're still becoming more like Christ. And so take encouragement. Under the pure, all things become pure. You begin to be able to analyze and discover, oh, that's not right. This is the Word of God that says no to that. And that maturation process of taking the Word of God and letting it filter through your hearts and minds makes you pure in every way. Anyway, okay. And verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. God bless America. And in their works, they deny Him. Now, let me start then bring it better, quicker to home, all right? And I know that I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, people that are faithful, but let it never be said of us that we're something different here at when we assemble than we are in our homes. May our children, again, let's go all the way back to the children, the faithful Word. May our children see that in my life, in your life, all things are pure. Not perfect, but growing. Passionate about following and obeying God. So when they see you sin, they see you also ask God to forgive you of your sin. They see you make changes in your life so that you won't fall into that sin again. There's nothing in your home, in your life, that will draw them to the world. You know what? Okay, now I'm going to step on toes, I suppose. But the reality is, I'm grateful. Our TV died when I was going into junior high. This was back in the 70s, you know. And the preaching was hot and heavy on TVs. So Mom and Dad, just responding to the reality and practicality, we didn't have a TV for several years. It was maybe in elementary school. I remember the last thing I watched on TV was the Super Bowl. And it was all white fuzz, and you could barely see. I was right by my screen. You could see the little guy moving along. It's like, you know, the audio was even, anyway, as I recall. All right, no TV. You know what? It didn't hurt me. It helped me. So to this day in our home, the TV isn't hardly on. We use it. It's not like it's the machine is sinful, but there's a lot of sin that can come over that machine. A lot of things, a lot of innuendos. There are movies that we don't watch that they may be okay, but the philosophy is wrong. Ask my older kids. They'll get them going on the movies that Dad's against. Anyways, okay. And they'll tell you, okay. And some of it's not necessarily because it's just stupid. All right, that's a bad word. But anyways, okay, it's just bad. It doesn't think right. And I didn't want my kids to be encouraged to think to be lazy, to be a liar, to be dumb. I want them to think godly in every area of their life. I hope it's put them in good stead. I'm grateful for it. Anyways, watch every year. Everything should be pure in our life, folks. Everything. Under the pure, all things are pure. Okay, now I'm done preaching. And we'll look forward to chapter 2 and 3 next week, Lord willing. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you for the truths of it. Thank you that Paul gave us things that we need today, right here, right now. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Allen. I guess I'm praying, even thank you for my father as he's come on staff with us here. That these men are men that hold fast the word of God faithfully. Help me to be the same, Lord, and then help us as a church to be known as those that just faithfully stick to God's faithful word. Yes, people won't like it at times. It goes against what their ego, what their pride, what their sin wants. But may we be faithful. Our children need it. Our teens need it. May you help the generation that we can affect here turn out to be godly, to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so may we be faithful in all that we do in our homes, in our lives. Lord, may your word have preeminence, and may we be pure in everything. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for the time together tonight. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Don't forget to be praying for the children. Lord will keep them in good health, and that'll be a great program.